You got your Bibles with you this morning. Let's go to John chapter 20. We'll begin at verses 24, read through 30, a couple of passages further back in John. God is good. We are three services into a series of 12 in you. And Pastor preached on Peter, and we learned a lot about Peter that day. And Peter's always the guy that jumped out there first. When something needed to be done, Peter jumped out there full-fledged and just went after it. He may not have had all the directions, but he went and did it, or tried to do it. Then last week, Pastor Tara Beth did a wonderful job highlighting that the women that follow Christ and their desire, their tenacity, and their loyalty, and their faithfulness to Jesus Christ, all the way to death on the cross. And they were there through that whole time. Well, it was on June 21st this year. I was hit with a bunch of guys headed to Promise Keepers. I don't know if you ever heard of that thing called Promise Keepers. We were traveling down in this 15-passenger van, and I tell you, we were packed in there, and that van was just swaying back and forth as we were traveling, and it was a little shaky. JC can testify to this. When you've got other lives in your hands and this thing's barely got the front wheels on the ground, it was a little scary. But he shifted over the responsibilities rather quick, and now I know why. We were traveling down, and we found a rest stop along the way, and we had to make a stop, right? It's what you got to do when you make road trips. The whole fun is stopping along the way to these rest stops and just kind of seeing what the world's about and what it's like. And as we were traveling on this stop, I happened to look at my phone and pulled out my phone, and I saw that I had a text on there. And, you know, we always are just ready for that text to come through, aren't we? So this text comes through, and it says, "Congrats, Tony." And I was like, "What is that about?" So I didn't know why it was a buddy of mine at work in California. I thought, well, why is he congratulating me? So I began to look at some emails, and I saw in the subject line, it said Hawaii. And I thought, I knew that they were having a drawing of some people that were going to go, but I said, surely not. So I called him up. I said, "Hey, Scott," I said, "what's going on with this? What are you congratulating me for?" And Scott says, "Well, the people in the office saw the video, and they said that you're one of the ones that won a trip to Hawaii." And I was just like, breathless. I thought, no, surely not me. I've never won anything of that magnitude in my whole life. I cannot be that person. I know me well enough to know I cannot be that person. But for some reason, I kept scanning down emails, kept scanning through there, and I looked through there, and I just like, oh my. We actually won a trip to Hawaii. And I thought to myself, give me the phone. I called my wife. I didn't care where she was at. She could be wherever. I just said, "Hey, guess what?" I said, "We're headed to Hawaii." We got bad phone signal, so I had to call her back again. I didn't feel like I got justice because I don't think the clarity was there and the enthusiasm was there. So I called the kids up, and I called Caleb, and I said, "Hey, guess what, son?" I said, we're going to Hawaii. And all I heard was, I thought he said, "Cool." He didn't say cool. He said, "You're fooling." And I was like, what have I got to do to impress anybody here? So I said, no, seriously, we won the trip. And so he hangs up the phone, and he texts his sister, and she calls me up, and now she doesn't hesitate. She just soaks it right in. She knew. So we get to that opportunity, and she says, "Dad, are we really going?" I said, "Yes, we're going. We're going. We're all excited." And I remember as I got that news, I could just barely stand. I literally had to sit down because I was just in awe that this was happening to me. Because I doubted that this could happen to me. See, let's go to the Word of God this morning in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 30. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me and you have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many miracles, miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in his name. So this morning, we're going to continue this series with Thomas and doubt. Now, I know all of you are very credible people here this morning, and when someone suggests something to you or gives you the latest news or tells you the latest information, you take it and you just run with it. You don't second guess it. You don't doubt it. You don't question the individual. You don't question the sourcing. You just go. Amen? I got a few. All right. The rest of you, you're going to go along with the story here this morning. I mean, wow, can you believe Thomas? Can you really believe this guy? He's been walking with Jesus for 3 years. And Jesus told him exactly all that was going to take place. He was with the 12. He was part of the group. And yet when we get down to the crutch, and we're talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Thomas says, "Unless I see his hands, unless I put my hand, folks, my hand in his side, then I will not believe it." And I will not believe it. When that text came across to me, I did not believe it. I said, "There is no way that could happen to me. I do not believe it." I know the guy very well. He's a very credible guy. He would not mislead me. He's not a jokester either, so I know he wouldn't be lying to me. But I still doubted. I still doubted. Thomas still doubted that Christ has risen as he said he would. Still doubting. We don't know much about Thomas. We don't have his resume. We don't have his, his lineage. We don't know a lot about him. You know, sometimes when we find out somebody's resume and we look and kind of see what they've done in life as far as a professional life goes, and we can kind of build a little framework around them and kind of have an idea who they are and kind of their makeup, right? We think of Peter as a fisherman, so we kind of think of him as a strong, burly kind of guy, right? And we got Luke, who was a doctor, and Luke, though, you know, as he wrote the book of Luke, you know, we find him probably a little bit more educated, a little bit more fine-tuned, as we would say. And then if we go through the list and we find Matthew is a tax collector, and so we can kind of frame him up in that framework as you choose to this morning, and we'll kind of see these people in a different light, can't we? And we can kind of see where they're coming from, where they're going, why they respond the way they do, how they react the way they do. But with Thomas, we don't have a lot. We just know that he was a follower. He was chosen by Christ to follow with the others. Hand-selected and chosen to do that. You know, you're familiar with the word, right? Doubting Thomas. You probably heard somebody use that phrase, whether it refers to someone or something, right? It's not believing in someone or not believing in something. And so oftentimes you got somebody who has a history of that. They say, "There's Doubting Thomas again." Well, I tell you, as a kid, and you all, some of you may have to go a little further back than I, and some not so far back than I, but remember as a kid when your parents told you to do something and you said, "You know what, I really don't believe you. I doubt that that's right." We used to show livestock, and if you're not familiar with that, it's been real big in the Oklahoma, Texas area. I'm sure it is other places. But we used to show steers, so they're, you know, pretty good size, pretty, you know, 800, 900 pounds, up to 1,000 pounds. And part of our process in that is that we had to wash them, give them a bath. Can you believe that? We got to give the guy a bath. Now, I remember as a young kid that my dad and them would say, be careful when you're on the backside of them because they will kick you. And I remember as a kid saying, no, I walk the guy every day. He's not going to kick me. I'm washing him. I'm giving the guy a bath. How's he going to kick me? Sure enough, it took a couple of times for that to happen, and I realized that they're right. I realized that when I headed back to the backside of that cow, that I might want to look for the leg and how far it can go out and make sure I clear that area. But we're no different, right? Even as we get older, we still doubt people's instructions sometimes. We still doubt what they tell us. We still doubt information that we see. And folks, this morning, let me not discredit Thomas here this morning. It is okay to doubt. Because let's go back into John chapter 11, verse 16 this morning. Join me. John, because there's a couple of portions of Scripture here that I want to frame up Thomas in. We often go to Thomas as a doubter and we really put a tag on him and that's his life. You know, that was his mistake and so we're going to call him the doubter. But let's go to John chapter 11 and we're going to talk about here. This is at the time that Jesus had just received the news from Mary and Martha that, oh, Lazarus has fell ill and has died. And so here we find them. They had just come out of Judea area. And now they've crossed over the Jordan, and at chapter 11, verse 16, as we come to that, Jesus is saying, Lazarus is dead, he's fallen, he tried to explain to him that he'd fallen asleep, they didn't get it. He said, okay, folks, the truth is, he's dead, we've got to go back, and we're going to raise him from the dead. And so Thomas says this in verse 16, then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Does that sound like a doubter to you? Let us go that we may die with him. That sounds like Peter. Peter would be the one that would want to jump out there and say, let's go die with him. I'm ready to go. I will not leave you, Lord. But we hear Thomas say that in the Scripture. Let us go that we may die with him. Somewhat contrasting to what we just read about Thomas. It's kind of hard to think that this guy who was willing to go die with his Savior is now doubting that his Savior rose again. Let's go to John 14, verses 5 this morning. Another portion of Scripture that kind of sheds a little bit different light for Thomas. And Thomas here again is one that kind of just put himself out there. You know, he put himself out there asking the hard questions sometimes, making the tough statements, and doing the things that he wants internally wants to do. Verse 14, let's begin at verse 1 if we can. It says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going? Thomas speaks up. Thomas says to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? We hear you say you're going to a place, but we don't know where you're going. Show us the way. How are we supposed to know? Philip says later, right, just a couple verses down, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. See, Thomas is a little bit different in character now, isn't he? We classified him and labeled him as a doubting individual. How could he dare doubt? He walked all these years with him. What is he thinking? Has he not seen? Has he not heard? My lands, he saw Lazarus raised from the dead. Did he not get it? Thomas got it. Thomas got it. But sometimes in our personal lives, we have to question and we doubt, whether it be ourselves, or sometimes we even doubt what we read. And we just discount it and say, you know what, that's then, and this is now. Of course, they acted like that with Jesus. I would too if I walked with him. Of course they could act like that because he did see many miracles and raised Lazarus from the dead and did this and did that. I would be strong too. I'd be ready to go. But it's not the case. Well, that role reversal has changed in my life. I am now the parent. And now it's me suggesting things, and it's now my kids suggesting that maybe I'm incorrect. And I remind my kids that you too will be me, and there will be somebody there that's you, and the cycle goes on and on and on. But remember again this morning, let me not take the word doubt and put it into a negative connotation here this morning, that you walk away and every time you doubt, you just crush yourself. Because listen, if my man Thomas can doubt, and the Lord come to him and teach him and show him the way, how we can too, guys. And ladies, this morning, we are not dismissed from this. And we are not beyond the ability to be forgiven and asking the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to say to us, believe. Believe. Stop doubting and believe. I've told this story before, and I just can't help tell it again because it goes right in line with what we're talking about this morning. And it was shortly after that I was given back my wedding ring, and it was found, and I gave my life to Christ because I made that covenant. You give me this, I'll give you that. I'm not telling you it works all the way, but it worked for me then. And I remember being so excited when that took place that I just quickly picked up the phone that morning and I called my father-in-law and was telling him, I said, hey, guess what? And I told the whole story. And I didn't hear a whole lot on the other end. He said, okay. And I thought to myself, he doesn't believe me. How could he? He kind of messed things up a little bit in the family. But then that Monday night, we go over to his house, and it's the halftime of the football game. And we look straight to him in the face and said, what have I got to do to become a Christian? And he looks at me, and then we go through all the steps, and we pray the sinner's prayer, and then we turn our lives over to Christ. He believed. But because of my credibility with him, he doubted me, which is okay. I deserve that. But this morning, what is God working in your life for and about? What wall have you come up against that has the graffiti word doubt written all over it? I appreciate so much Brother Rick taking the time and energy to paint these portraits during these services, and there's more to go. And as he asked me this week, he said, Pastor, what scripture are you going to kind of focus on? I said, well, Rick, we're really going to focus on John chapter 20, really verse 24 through 26. He came to me this morning. He's excited what the Lord's given him to put on canvas. I was excited what the Lord gave me to put on paper. I hope this morning you're excited about what the Lord has put on your heart. All that God is doing in our lives is building us up to become something greater than we could ever imagine. Thomas would later, historians say, would later become a missionary and you become a martyr. And again, we don't know a lot about him. And oftentimes he gets highlighted as this individual that just didn't have it together and he just didn't believe. And there was a time in his life that he did not believe. But I want to point out this morning that there was a time in his life that he believed so much and so well that he wanted to give his life for it. Do you remember when you first got saved and you just wanted to go and knock down the walls and you didn't care who knew? You didn't care what they thought. I remember running through the warehouse in the office telling people what had happened as if they cared. As if they thought I was crazy. What are you talking about? I gave my life to Christ. I'm a Christian now. And you get that deer in the headlights look and you're just like, I didn't care. So what? I knew what had happened. I knew what God had done for me. Years have passed. Trials and tribulations have come and they have gone. That does not change what took place. All that changes is me along the way. And all it does for you is changes you along the way of what God is doing in your life. Listen, if we're doubting this morning, it's okay. But listen to Him this morning. Listen to Him. If it takes, listen to what He did to Thomas this morning. He showed up. He showed up. And He didn't just show up, folks. He knew what Thomas needed to build his faith. And when he saw him, he said, Thomas, put your finger here. Thomas, put your hand in my side. If that's what it takes, stop doubting and believe that I am real and that I have raised up from the dead and I am on the right hand of the Father. Amen?
Amen.
Life is going to bring its struggles. It's going to bring its doubts. It's not that it comes. It's how we get over that. How we deal with that. How we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and drive that out. God is currently in my life teaching me on that. Because I doubt sometimes. Sometimes I doubt if exactly what He says is going to happen. And God is teaching me to stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting me and believe. God so much has even said to me, I'm a pastor. I've been a pastor for a while. Right? You're supposed to have it together. You're supposed to be this and that. But as Elijah was just a mere man, so am I, right? But God said to me, stop doubting and believe. I will do these things for you. I know the challenge of getting over the hurdle of doubt. I know the fight of getting over the hurdle of doubt. What I want to know is the victory of getting over doubt. If you've been a Christian very long, you understand what I'm talking about this morning. You can go, but you must stay in Him. Amen. And this morning, as the band comes up, I want them to, they're going to play a song this morning. And I just simply want you this morning, and me this morning, to just listen to the words, would you? Would you allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work in you this morning, as He works in me this morning? May He continue to do something great in your life, as He will in my life. May we allow the Holy Spirit to wash over us this morning and allow Him to do something so miraculous that you'll look back, as I did on that trip, and I said, I can't believe it's me that won that thing. There are so many more people deserving for this. But yet, God, You chose me. I don't stand. I don't do what I do because of monetary gain. I don't do what I do for popularity. I don't do what I do because I have nothing else to do. I do what I do because there was a day that I met a Savior who said to me, it's going to be okay. I have forgiven you. Your slate is clean. Your life is new. What you thought was going to carry you the rest of your life is just trash, and I'm cleaning it up for you. That's why we do what we do. And this morning, allow the Holy Spirit to do something great in your life. Allow Him to wipe away that doubt this morning. Allow Him just to come in and reign in your life. When we pray for these Sunday morning services, we want God to reign and have full control of the spirit of this service in the mornings, on Sunday mornings. Darren did a fantastic job. Fantastic job. But they allow the Spirit to move within them to create an atmosphere of worship. Amen? Allow the words to minister to you this morning. And if you feel the need to come down and give your life for the first time to Christ, and maybe there's doubt that's set in and says, you know what? I hear your story. I've read your story. But I still don't believe that it can happen for me. It can. And if you've been a Christian for a little while this morning, and you come across and you say, you know what? I've been there, done that. I have fought doubt before, and I have lost. Don't stop fighting. Do not stop fighting. You have more to gain than to lose this morning. More to gain than to lose this morning. Listen to the Holy Spirit.